Give me a beat. Thank you for pushing play. You are listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast, episode 20. You'd better care about this episode. No one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy beneath. What's up, Internet? This is the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast, episode 20, recorded on June 4, 2015, brought to you by RayRay.net. I am Ray Morandi. You also know me as Ray Ray, or Ray. That's fine, too. It's my given name. So, some people went up to me, and they said, I don't care about your podcast. Great. And then, they go on to this little explanation about how they don't care about my podcast, and then that was it. I'm like, okay. So great, so you don't care about my podcast. Why did you talk to me about it for about 5 to 10 minutes or so? See, this is what I don't get. The phrase, I don't care. And I see it a lot online too. I don't care about the Super Bowl. I don't care about Game of Thrones. I don't care about wrestling. I don't care about video games. So, why are you going out of your way to say that you don't care? Sometimes it's not even premeditated. You just say, oh, I don't care about a certain thing. Does that mean that you really care? See, I don't get that. Like, why even bother saying that? Like, did you just wake up in the morning and say that you needed to say that you don't care about a certain thing? I don't care about Valentine's Day. You know what? And I'm gonna say this too, but I guess no one really cares what you don't care about. Here's the thing. See, if I don't care about something, I just don't say it. I mean, why? Like, that means I really don't care. I don't need to give it attention. You know, I just don't care. Why even bother bringing it up? Like, you know, I don't really care too much about Kanye West. That's why you never see me talk about him. I don't care about him. You know? And that's the best thing. If you really don't care, you're just apathetic about the entire thing. You just don't say anything about it. That's how I treat it. You know? I really don't care. You know? I don't care too much about Mad Men. But you don't see me talk about saying that I don't care about Mad Men. I just don't talk about it because I don't care. You know? Why draw attention to myself? And, you know, I just don't care. I just leave it alone. That's how I say it. I don't care. I don't care. So it really cracks me up when people go out of their way to say, oh, I don't care about a certain thing. You must care if you brought it up in the first place, right? That's how I see it. So next time you don't care about anything, then just leave it alone. Really act like you don't care about it instead of going out of your way to say, yeah, I don't care. In the meantime, I'm going to talk to some of my friends about stuff that we care about. Holland Wong and Mel Balthasar from Kicks and Kickouts, and also real life friends of mine, they care about wrestling. That's why they talk about it. And if you don't care about it, then just don't listen to us. But see, we're passionate about it. That's why we're going to talk about it. Not only are we going to talk about wrestling, but we're going to go into, you know, we're going to embrace our inner geek for a little bit. We're going to talk about anime, video games, Dance Dance Revolution. Heck, sports are geeky too. I mean, we'll explain it in the podcast. Just go listen. It's fun. Embrace your inner geek. Scratch.
On the line, old friends of mine from the No Look Past, and now they do a podcast concerning shoes and wrestling called Kicks and Kickouts. Holland Wong and Mel Balthasar, also known as DJ Melvis. How's it going, guys?
Super. Thanks for asking.
Warriors just won game one. Woohoo!
I know. You two have been, well, not really Mel, but Holland, I know, has been a long time Golden State Warriors fan, so you've got to beat Evan right now.
This is a guy who waited in line for a Joe Smith autograph. at Southland Mall. I sh** you not.
That's a long time ago. Joe Smith is like 20 years ago, dude.
And I'm surprised. And I'm surprised there is a line.
Well, it was warranted back then. I mean, he was
he was a star player.
Yeah, exactly.
I did the raise the roof thing,
which was, I believe, taken from wrestling, right? Because Hogan used to do that whole raise the roof thing.
Really?
Slowly,
I thought it was
a Harlem Heat.
I thought Hogan and Warrior did those.
I always thought it was Luke, which, you know, the music video had Stuart Scott in it doing the raise.
Yeah,
the roof.
I know.
The roof.
Yeah, well, we attributed it first to Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior when they want to body slam Andre the Giant or whoever else, you know? They always did that sort of thing, but they did it slowly. So, I don't know. I always feel like a lot of taunts in hip-hop or whatever are taken from wrestling.
Or taken from white people and black people made it cooler?
I guess so. I mean, I asked my nephew about the whole You Can't See Me thing, and it was really John Cena that came up with it first.
Oh, yeah.
In fairness, though, John Cena really has, like, some pretty tight roots in hip hop. I mean, his cousin Trademark, he's a producer, and he's the one that actually did the, you know, Time Is Now theme song, and the one before that, the Ward Life one. And those guys are Trademark. I know he's tight with a lot of guys in Connecticut. So there's like Apathy and like a couple of the guys from like the Demigods, that kind of stuff. So it's funny I mentioned John Cena and hip hop and stuff, because funny quick story, I ran into him at E3. You know, the video game trade show back in 2004.
Right.
He wasn't even, like, at a booth, you know, promoting or anything. He was just kind of there, you know, to check out stuff. And, like, I noticed him on there. And, you know, we just got talking, just, you know, hey, you know, how's it going and stuff. And we were talking, and I was just telling him that, you know, this is during his Thugonomics phase. And I was like, you know, I love how you freestyle and all that stuff. You know, I think it's pretty cool, you know, your hip-hop. And he goes, oh, yeah, I've been a fan since, you know, I was a kid growing up, Eric B. and Rakim on cassette. And then, you know, he talked about West Coast hip-hop. I said, yeah, you know, out here I'm from the Bay Area. And, like, Hieroglyphics, you know, Souls of Mischief, they're, you know, huge and stuff. He said, have you actually heard their second album? What was this second album called again? Perfect Circle or Full Circle?
Full Circle.
Yeah, Full Circle. It's like, when you talk to most people about Souls of Mischief and all that, they only mention 93 Till Infinity. The fact he, like, referenced the second album, was able to rattle off stuff, it's like, okay, the guy's not just, you know, kind of superficial knowing his stuff.
Yeah.
This guy knows stuff. He's really savvy, and a lot of people don't give him credit for how much he actually knows his stuff when he's talking about it.
I miss Basic Thugonomics, John Cena. I thought we were going to go talk about wrestling at the end of the podcast, but never mind. We're talking about it now.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, like, you know, I want to talk about John Cena, and I referenced on your Facebook group page that he is a terrible character. He's a great guy in real life, but he is a terrible character.
I don't know about terrible character. I think it's the fact, you know, it is almost – he's impervious in a way to a lot of things. It's – you know, I mean, in a way – I was just kind of thinking about this the other day. Wrestling, a lot of, like, the fans, you know, especially who grew up in the 80s and 90s and stuff, they always think of wrestling as this sort of counterculture sort of thing, where it's like, you know, okay, you have professional sports a lot, but, you know, it's the freaks and the weirdos that like wrestling. And the fact that when you look at then and look at now how mainstream it's become, you know, he's like the symbolism of, you know, it becoming mainstream, becoming acceptable, where it's like, no, I want my guys to be evil, or, like, you know, I like my villains and all this kind of stuff, and, you know, even the good guys should be an absolute, like, you know, jerk and or have some weird quirk, and he's as American as apple pie and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, it's, there's resentment. That's why, like, when you think of even, you know, superheroes and comic books, you know, as great as Superman is, you know, he's the guy who's, you know, true justice in the American way, you don't find too many Superman fans. Everyone wants Iron Man. They want Batman. They want the guys who, like, have this dark side or, like, you know, is a complete badass one way or another. And, you know, he's for the kids. And, I mean,
That's the thing, though. He presents himself as an underdog and a good guy, but he's taking shortcuts in so many ways. And he's a bad friend. I've seen it so many times. And I don't mind the invincibility as much, I guess. You know, you have to have one, I suppose. But I don't know. I just think that when he presents himself as a good guy, it just seems so phony to me, which is why people have brought it up in feuds.
I don't know about phony. I mean,
isn't a lot of stuff in wrestling phony anyway? I mean,
yeah, it's just the way that he presents himself, though. I'm a good guy. He calls Kevin Owens not a man when Kevin Owens beats him, you know, cleanly.
Oh,
like, why would you not call him a man? On that topic,
John Cena has only been beaten cleanly only 7 times.
Well, since, like, what, 2005?
Well, since he became the face.
Yeah.
Since he became the face, right, or whatever.
One of the guys is Great Khalil, who actually beat him clean.
When was this? I don't even remember this, because I don't remember Great Khalil's career at all.
I think we all try to forget Grey Cup.
It was probably like 2006, 2007, like that very nebulous time when WWE was really like just kind of grasping at straws for anything.
Oh, right. That period was terrible from like 05 to like 2010 or something.
Before Punk's like SES run and title.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly. I don't know, man. Like if John Cena is like taking advantage of a title shot while Rey Mysterio just became champion and cashes in the same day. He calls Kevin Owens not a man after he gets beat cleanly. There's just so much that I just can't like stand about John Cena. And when he was about to hit Bray Wyatt with a chair, it's like I kind of expect him to hit him with a chair because like we already know he's kind of like a mixed bag when it comes to his being a good guy. We've seen it before, but when Sami Zayn does it, we were like, no, because we know he's a good guy. He's presented as a really good babyface. He doesn't take shortcuts. That's the difference between John Cena and Sami Zayn, who's the modern-day Ricky Steamboat babyface.
It's not so much shortcuts. You just dislike the hypocrisy with his character.
Yeah, that too. Yes.
Okay.
That's what I can't really say.
Like, he's a hypocrite, basically.
Yeah.
And you find that disingenuous.
Exactly.
But see, here's the thing, when you talk about John Cena, his hypocrisy, how do you not see the same hypocrisy in Kevin Owens? Okay, he comes out with this facade like, I'm doing this for my family, you know,
But see, he's a heel. There's the difference there. John Cena's presented as a good guy.
Okay, I'll take it one step forward. Can someone be good, but somehow have to bend their rules in, you know, like grave moments where, you know, it's life and death situation without, you know, it compromising them in general?
I mentioned this on the group page too. Like many faces in WWE are actually really terrible. Like Sheamus was a face; he stole a car. Come on.
Well, see, okay, but is mischief necessarily a trait of like being a bad person?
I don't know. Like,
see, there's various levels of like doing something. There's like levels, being you know a prankster. Yeah, but I mean,
yeah, there are various levels.
Run was kind of goofy anyway. I will grant you that.
Yeah, but I just want my – if they're going to be good guys, then they better be good guys. Like even Triple H as a face is like he uses a sledgehammer for crying out loud. You know? It's like come on, you know? That's why I like Sami Zayn because he's a complete babyface.
But, you know, even then it was like there were times when it's like when he kind of embraced his aggressive side, it's like that's what we wanted to see. I mean
– yeah, but he still doesn't cheat. You know what I mean? He had a chance to cheat against Neville in our Evolution and he didn't do it
because
he's a really good guy. He did it his way. See, that's my problem with the characters in WWE right now. NXT, at least, you know, that's why I like character death. And when they're good guys, they're good guys. They're bad guys, they're bad guys. In WWE, it's like everyone's, I don't know.
Like a gray area?
Yeah, too much of a gray area, really. And if you're going to present yourself as a good guy, then present yourself as a good guy.
Thing we're not talking about the Bella Twins in that case.
Yeah, exactly. The Bella Twins are, oh my God. I can't even tell. Did they switch again?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Nikki ended up using Twin Magic on the last Raw.
Yeah. See? Oh, my God.
This is what I think confuses everybody, I think. I mean, me especially. It's like when, say, Nikki Bella, she's out there, you know, and she's whatever face, maybe. But she comes out and does heelish stuff. But then, like, when she's on her Instagram or social media and puts out all these, like, inspirational quotes to be better and all that, it's like, okay, now you're really trying to screw with, like, blurring lines between the person.
Oh, like, give Divas a chance?
Yeah.
I don't mind the social media as much. That's, you know, that's outside of the realm sometimes. Yeah. Some will use it as, like, to boost their character, but I don't mind it as much. But when you're on TV and we can't even tell if you're a face or a heel, then I don't know.
What's interesting is that Lana and Rusev do not break kayfabe in social media.
Very true.
Yeah.
That's why you don't see any photos of them together anymore. Well, the Clippers are out of the playoffs, so they're not in pictures of those.
Yeah, but there are some pictures where or videos where Lana like breaks character and speaks fluent English.
Yeah,
and she's in a movie set. Like I saw that like last year or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I just want them to flesh out their characters and not be such. You know, we're not stupid, is what we're saying.
Yeah.
But I will quote Max Landis from the hit Wrestling Isn't Wrestling documentary. Wrestling sucks a lot of the time, but when it's good, it's great. The payoff is awesome.
I think Seth Rollins also quoted that. He's saying, like, it's not a it's a TV show about wrestling. That's what it is. It's not the other way around.
I think I also heard Daniel Bryan and Cesaro agree with this, is that WWE is a parody of wrestling.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I think I heard about that. Daniel Bryan basically saying that's what it is. It's a parody of wrestling.
That's why they don't get bent out of shape over their pushes, is because that's what it is, you know.
Yeah.
It's a television show.
Yeah. Right. It's like, you know, it's like MTV and music videos, right? So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. But I mean, I try to watch Raw without like being so, I try not to be so cynical about it, but
it's 3 hours long. Oh my god!
It is.
I like the show. It's a chore that's 3 hours long.
Yeah. I can't even watch SmackDown because of that. It's like, I don't watch SmackDown. I'll just watch NXT. Because
you get burnt out from watching the same roster for like, what, 5 hours a week?
And then you add in the pay-per-view once a month, once a week, once a month. And then
it's pretty much once every other week now.
Yeah. Although the ones that they put out lately has been really good, so.
Yeah.
What about SmackDown?
Well, I think SmackDown is actually, you know, like, before we used to think SmackDown was just a Raw recap with, like, you know, a few throw-in shows. But SmackDown's gotten better, and, like, what a lot of people have not really been noticing is that a few months ago, the head writer of NXT was actually promoted to SmackDown.
Mm.
So, like, if you're catching SmackDown nowadays and, you know, you're seeing some good stuff out of there, that's probably one of the prime reasons. And I think the next main roster call-up has to be, like, the NXT writing staff, correct?
I hear there's only like one writer from NXT, from what I heard. Just one writer.
Much, yeah.
So that, when you go like, up to the main roster, you have to deal with like 20 other people.
I know Jimmy Jacobs is part of the creative team at WWE now.
Although not everyone's really good about you know, putting together matches. I heard Jay Noel put together the Royal Rumble and that was terrible.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
The former Ring of Honor champion.
Yeah,
makes sense. It's the execution that's like, yeah, not so good.
Yeah, the best part of our Royal Rumble was Bubba Ray Dudley coming in, and that was it. We were done.
Yeah. Yeah, Bully Ray, and then he gets his moment, and was it R-Truth that was told to get the tables?
Of course, they get a black guy to get the tables. Of course, they do.
Yeah, at least he didn't steal them.
Yeah, it was little Jimmy that got the tables.
Oh, I miss Crazy R-Truth. I was the best push he got, too.
What do you mean he's not crazy anymore? This guy was like talking about how much he was scared of spiders.
Well, I'm talking about like when he first went crazy, like when he was going against John Cena.
Oh, okay.
Oh yeah, the paranoid crazy.
Yeah, he got the huge push right there, too.
Was that his IC title run?
Did he even have an IC title run? I know he got a main event run for a little bit there.
Yeah,
with Cena.
I think it was during that time he and Miz were actually a
they were
awesome truth.
Yeah, they were the main event there, and before Punk like destroyed everything.
And yeah, destroy and rebuild.
Yeah, destroyed everything because like I don't think Punk was supposed to like insert himself to the main event like that. Then he did the promo and that was it. It was over.
Oh yeah.
I do like Happy Go Lucky R-Truth though, just because the theme music, and you know, he kind of gets on the mic like he's an old fake ass Mystical or something.
Oh man, it was so throwback though when he would come in with no music. It's like, who does that nowadays besides Paul Heyman?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No music. Yeah.
Speaking of music, anyway. Man, I still think the greatest little documentary you could see on WWE Network is the Signature Sounds one. Cause that,
right.
Yeah, the one with Jim Johnston, which I can't believe for the life of me, how is that dude not in WWE Hall of Fame? The guy is fucking incredible. I mean, think about it. He has, like, all sorts of genres he has to write for, and he can, like, tell you the process of how he's, you know, creating the song, and he could just bang it out like nothing.
I know. It's crazy. It's like, okay, he's intense. Dun-dun-dun-dun. Oh, okay. That's the Ultimate Warrior. Got it.
Don't they wait until somebody retires first before getting in the Hall of Fame? Because he didn't really hand the keys over to the CFOs until like last year.
JR and Lawler got in. They weren't retired.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, here's the thing also. Remember when Ultimate Warrior did his Hall of Fame speech last year? He was talking about that there should be an award for like people behind the scenes that like, you know, are get the thing, jobs and all that. I thought like the first, you know, if the Warrior Award was actually made for what was intended to be, Jim Johnston should have been the absolute first guy in. Or, you know, whoever that guy was talking about that ran merch. But yeah, like reappropriating it for Connor. Granted, I know it's a PR stunt and I get it, but I mean, way to completely, like, not even just sort of bend someone's words. They just took it, like, completely out of context and just reappropriated it for whatever reason. It didn't really sit well with me, honestly.
The guy's been doing music since the 80s, like early 80s, late 80s, whatever. He's been doing it forever.
Yeah,
and
30 years.
Just to bang out songs like that, it's like, okay, this guy's coming in. We want you to make it like this. And then, boom, he gets it done in, like, a couple days.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Sure, yeah. It needs some tweaking, but I mean, that's how it is, you know?
But that's like effective songwriting right there, when you just like are able to, you look at the guy, you get the personality, you get right to the hook. It's like, you know, like you have association sonically with something when you hear it.
Yeah, exactly. Although, I mean, he didn't write the Hulk Hogan theme or the Shawn Michaels theme or whatever. Those were like, what was that? Derringer and Jimmy Hart, yeah. But the rest of them, like Jericho's theme or
Stone Cold.
Yeah, Stone Cold, definitely.
The Rock.
Even The Rock. Yeah, exactly.
We're just getting started. We'll be right back with more wrestling and geek talk with Holland Wong and Mel Bottlesar in this episode of Ray Ray is Fundamental. Promo!
It's Kristen Ledlow from NBA Inside Stuff, and I was once on the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast. Once. That was enough.
I mentioned character death in WWE, but what else needs improvement in the E? Because, like, the wrestling is no problem. I think the wrestling is better than ever, really.
The announcing team needs a little bit of upgrade. I mean, you got JBL just every 5 minutes. What do you think about that, Michael? What do you think about that, Michael? I hate that.
JBL was good in his first couple years. I don't know what the hell happened.
I don't know if it's necessarily chemistry or anything, but, I mean, the only thing I can kind of parse from, like, because you look at NXT, you listen to their commentary, and, you know, they're a great team with Graves and Saxton and, you know, whichever main
Bernard
they use.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think also when they're doing it, they don't have, like, three or four producers, you know, in their ear to them. You got to mention this. And they're basically trying to play armchair commentator to them, trying to feed them.
It's Vince and who is it? Kevin Dunn, is it?
Usually, yeah.
Kevin Dunn Vince?
Doesn't H do it too?
Not in NXT that I know of.
Okay. On NXT is actually Michael Cole and only Michael Cole. That's what I heard.
Okay.
That's why decent, so...
But you have more free reign in NXT than WWE. In WWE, it's like, yeah, to go through everyone's approval, basically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Although I think in fairness, though, with NXT, they have an advantage in that, you know, when they're talking about characters, they're one thing they do really well is they talk about backstories. They kind of explain, you know, how did these guys get here? Whereas WWE, you're just kind of like flying into it like, okay, we're just kind of going a play-by-play and, you know, we'll try to brush away continuity or any of that kind of stuff. It's like you have to be in the know to understand Raw or, you know, SmackDown, whereas NXT, it's like you can pick it up. It's like, okay, I get it.
So basically WWE needs context.
Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And another problem I have, which they've had a long time problem now for WWE, is when they have non-title matches and the champion always loses. That's why Barrett looks like the weakest wrestler ever, because You just know he's going to lose.
Yeah, that's, you know, kind of the point. They, you know, need to build that legitimacy of the number one contender, I suppose.
Yeah, but why can't they just keep him away? See, NXT keeps them away from each other until the event. But in WWE, it's like, oh, you wrestle 3-4 times before you wrestle in a pay-per-view.
Because and then, they assume that your average main roster or Raw, SmackDown audience has a short attention span.
Yeah, well.
Damn millennials. I'm telling you, they don't remember what happened a minute ago.
Like, they assume we're stupid. You know?
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, seriously. And I just don't like it when champions lose and they keep fighting the same match 3-4 weeks in a row. Like it was Dolph Ziggler and Kofi Kingston for like 2 years at Raw.
Mm-hmm. Or they kept booking as recent as like they just kept booking Roman Reigns with either Big Show or Kane.
Right.
For like an entire, like 3 months straight.
It's like, we know what's going to happen here, guys. Especially since we all know Roman Reigns is going to get that huge push.
Yeah. So you can beat up the bigger guys.
Yeah.
Look strong.
Yeah. But hey, you know, I give him credit, though, because Seth Rollins is not the typical WWE superstar that Vince likes. And he's a champion. So I'll give him credit for that.
Yeah. Well, that's because he's awesome on the mic. He's such a freaking weasel. It's great. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's a, who knows, maybe Triple H might be getting a little bit into Vince McMahon's head with, like, if you notice who's on the rise now, you got him. Like, all these guys that were in developmental, whether it's, you know, FCW or NXT, you know, for the most part, they've all been performing really well. You look at, Seth Rollins, you look at, you know, Ambrose and Reigns who are in FCW. Now you look at guys like Neville and Owens. I mean, they're getting some pretty hard pushes
to a
right
certain,
now.
Even but they're delivering. To a certain extent, look at New Day, the tag team champions. Xavier Woods and Big E were NXT alumni.
I do think that Bray Wyatt needs a little bit of a reboot or something because he's losing matches and he hasn't been the same since, guess what, he went on a feud with John Cena.
But that's also, because he broke up with the family. The family, you know, splitting him from them was the worst decision.
Yeah.
Because it's like, if he's going to be this, you know, guy who's like, you know, follow me, follow the buzzers and all that, when no one's like even your disciple, I mean, it just means like you're just kind of screaming at a wall and laughing at your own jokes, which, by the way, is one of the biggest pet peeves of any kind of, like, person in general. If you laugh at your own jokes way too much, I cannot take you seriously.
Oh, we know a few of that.
Well, he's been cutting his promos, like, basically talking to nobody. He's, like, talking to himself the whole time.
And he doesn't make sense sometimes. One week he said, wins and losses doesn't matter. And the next time it's like, I need to beat John Cena. Like, what? I thought it didn't matter before. Come on, we're not stupid. We know what you're talking about.
The soliloquies look cool until you realize that when he talks to, like, nobody.
Yeah.
He's got to go to the whole school of Jake Roberts promo cut.
Oh, Jake Roberts, man. Oh. Such a good promo.
Yeah, Jake Roberts does the creepy promo really well.
Yeah. Funny thing about Jake Roberts and his delivery, the reason I mentioned that is they did an interview with one time and talking about his character, and it's like, you know, his character was very different in that when you think about pro wrestlers and all that, they're usually very loud, very charismatic and all that, but he always kind of talked like this, you know, with a little bit of, you know, just sort of a lower voice and in that kind of tone.
Yeah.
He did spoke very paced and all that. He said the reason you do that is because if you talk very softly and, you know, just pace yourself rightly, people are more likely to listen to your words rather than just be overwhelmed by, like, okay, this volume means he's really serious. It's like, no, I'm going to pay attention to what you're saying. And then, like, the gravitas of what he's saying is really going to sink in. That's how he got himself over in that sense.
You have 21, I have 22. You remember that promo when he was super drunk and he said that promo? Yeah. I'm like, what? It's like, okay.
That's more
cool. 22.
That's more coherent than any sober promo that Scott Steiner cuts.
Oh my god, Scott Steiner's my favorite.
Scott Steiner mouth.
You got 33rd chance of beating me at sacrifice.
I remember he yelled at Samoa Joe's like, I got a college ship! Like, oh, what's a college ship? Fantastic.
Oh, you white trash!
You remember here on G-Life, remember when the Pearl Harbor popped the German? Who is DJ Ulrich anymore?
Forget it. He's far gone already.
I love Steiner. The whole
country of Canada.
Otherwise known as Mexico North.
I got the biggest arms in the world.
My freaks and peaks.
Oh, my God. Scott Steiner, man. I want to meet him one day. Just so they can cut a promo on me and not make sense. It'll be the best.
We all need more Scott Steiner. Fuck, if that's
scream good... my name when I took her to Nirvana. She reaches satisfaction.
Just hated WCW in the last years there.
I think everyone just kind of gave up mentally in those last 2 years.
So did Scott.
By the way, speaking of WCW, did you guys ever go to the Nitro Grill in Las Vegas?
I did not go to the Nitro Grill in Las Vegas, but I did go to WWE New York once.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, that was 2001, oddly enough, about a week before the attacks.
Oh, wow. I went to the Nitro Grill in 99, and it was sadly empty. Like, there was just nobody there but a waitress. Yeah, I think it was going to be closing in a few weeks or so. But it was empty. They had a big screen TV that was playing, like, I don't know. It had Buff Bagwell on the TV screen. But you know, items like the Goldberger and the Big Papa Burger. And, oh, my God.
Oh,
the food was all right. food was all right, I guess. But, yeah, it was empty.
Well, I think Hulk Hogan still has his place in Tampa. It's like like a beach grill. So, next time I'm out in Disney World, I may have to make the 90-minute drive.
What is it called?
Name escapes me, but you know it's a thing.
It. Yeah, oh, but
Hogan's Beach.
Yes, sounds right. Okay. And forget Hogan, man. I want to meet his son so I could steal his SB collection.
I want his car, the one that he didn't crash.
Oh boy!
Soon?
So I mentioned that I want to meet Scott Steiner. I probably want to meet Diamond Dallas Page, but which wrestlers would you guys want to meet? You guys met most of the NXT people, so I'm already jealous about that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, WrestleMania Access was awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, where Holland got Sasha Banks to do the whole Sailor Moon thing.
Yeah,
which
the Sailor Moon pose.
We'll discuss anime later, but who else you guys would want to meet?
I would say probably out of the current people right now, probably, I would actually say probably Xavier Woods and Big E, just because I think Xavier Woods he truly is one of us in, you know, like being a total nerd and geek and into all that
kind
of culture.
Right.
I think he would be an absolute cool guy to just kick it with and talk old school games. I mean, for crying out loud, dude even shouts out like music-based games, you know, in some of his Instagrams and tweets, like, you know, Dance Dance, or even like Busta Groove. I'm like, if you shout out Busta Groove and you're not within like my immediate circle, like, okay, there's something about you.
Yeah, and when he was at NXT, he built himself from Angel Grove. Come on. That's awesome.
Uh-huh. And, you know, he'd scream over 9,000 before, you know, he did his, like, finisher.
Yeah, see, and if you guys don't know what Angel Grove is, listeners, Power Rangers. That's where he went to high school
it's
or whatever.
Orphan time. So.
Exactly, and he yells that too right before his clothesline or whatever.
And Big E, I think, is just one of those truly brilliant guys. It's like, you know, yeah, of course you look at him and you think, you know, he's a big hulking guy, but you know, if you see him on social media, the guy just seems super quick-witted. I mean, he's really smart and all that stuff. I mean, he was a pre-med before he got into the WWE, so he just like he's an absolute right. And I mean, after you see the New Day with like doing their Sonic Shakes commercial, I mean, how can it not be like an absolute like jam to play
with? Have you ever heard of a stable like New Day where all members have a college degree?
The closest thing I could think of would be the Varsity Squad, because you have Mike Rotunda from representing Syracuse, Barry Windham, I believe, was Florida, the Steiner brothers represented Michigan.
Oh, okay.
I refuse to believe about the Steiner brothers, though, because come on, Scott Steiner, I mean.
Hey, man, you don't learn that Steiner math from nowhere.
That's true. And he knows his history very well about Iwo Jima and, you know, Pearl Harbor and everything.
He majored in Asian studies and minor in mathematics.
There you go. See?
God, Steiner's more Asian than some of us combined.
Really? Yeah, so, Holland, who would you want to meet? I know Mel just mentioned the New Day.
I kind of want to meet John Cena, which is the most cornball answer ever, but him as a person, just on the hip-hop alone, I just thought that would be kind of cool.
But see, I get it, though, because Cena seems like a legitimately good guy.
Yeah, you know? Like a dude that you would just hang out with, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with John Cena as a person.
Yeah.
And obviously I never met him, but I mean, you know, he seems like a great guy.
Yeah.
It's just that his character is so like, you know, he wins all the time, you know, that sort of thing.
But honorable mention, Simon Gotch. That guy's a huge nerd. Makes a lot of anime references here and there. He does watch some stuff.
I never knew about that.
Yeah. Nice. Pretty cool. If you go through his Twitter feed, he's pretty cool.
Plus, he's got that, you know, gnarly mustache.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he would fit in living in the Bay Area.
Funny, Holland, I'm surprised you. I would have pegged you more as a CM Punk guy.
Oh, CM Punk. I don't know. I'm a little intimidated. Maybe that's probably why.
I definitely want to meet Punk. He blocked me on Twitter, though, for no reason. I don't know.
You know, sometimes people just block people, but not by accident, but, like, they must have took something the wrong way and just like, well, I don't have time to deal with this and just.
Yeah, probably, but I can't even remember like making fun of CM Punk.
There's a lot of misfires with blocking people.
That's true.
Happens.
I think,
that's true.
Yeah, funny enough, it's like all three of us were big wrestling fans, but my wife, she's the one that actually met CM Punk.
What?
Well, it was SummerSlam Access, I want to say 2 or 3 years ago. And we went there just for Access. Like SummerSlam, we were just going to go Sunday morning, hightail it back home and watch it on TV because, you know, tickets and all that kind of stuff. We'd rather just meet the wrestlers. And it was like Punk was one of the VIP people. She's like, gosh, I really want to meet Punk. I don't know if I have the money and all that kind of stuff. And I just kind of thought about it for a second. I'm like, you really want to see him, don't you? She's like, it'd be nice. And I'm like, okay, here you go. So yeah, bought the VIP ticket. And while she was out getting Punk, I was meeting the Funkadactyls, and, you know, I think we both won.
There you go. I've met Rob Van Dam in his comic book shop.
Oh, Five Star Comics.
Because it was in Lakewood, so it's like it's really close, you know, so I have no problem seeing him there. I've seen Lita twice, once in Five Star Comics and once at E3. Mm-hmm. And she was nice, both looks-wise and attitude. And Mick Foley, I met him on E3 as well, and who was super nice. Gave me – because I brought his book when it first came out, and he was surprised I got to see it. So he gave me two pictures. So that was really nice of him.
Wow.
Foley,
you know what? Yeah.
Probably the nicest guy I've ever met.
Yeah.
You know what? Random thought. I would like to have dinner with Ryback at a Golden Corral.
Shut it down. Let's go home.
I don't know why that thought occurred to my head, but I don't know. It would be like, no man, just an eating machine.
I heard this, like, I watched this video of, like, Al Snow talking about how much Ryback eats. It was, like, way back in the, when he wasn't tough enough.
You heard about the inside joke about Ryback fears Panera Bread, right?
No, I have not.
There's an interview with Ryback where he says, like, one time he went to, like, Panera Bread with a couple other WWE superstars, and he had, like, no clue what to order. And then when he ordered stuff, it was, like, way more than he expected. So he's like, I usually go to Subway, and I just get one sandwich and, like, six chicken breasts or something like that. They just bring it up that way. But for some reason, for him, ordering at Panera Bread was so complicated because there's so many menu items. So now people are having signs that says, Ryback fears Panera Bread.
It's insane how much these guys eat. It's like Ryback, The Rock, Triple H, and then I've seen Big Show's portions. It's like, it's insane.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, there is no way I can eat that stack of pancakes.
No.
Rock eats, and I can't eat that in like a month. No way.
Punk and Daniel Bryan were vegan for a while, too. I would imagine that's really tough.
Yeah.
I don't even care about being able to pound that much food. I just want that metabolism, for crying out loud. God, just give me my metabolism when I was like 19 or something, and like I'd be the happiest guy alive right now.
Yeah, it'd be nice to eat that much, but oh God.
But you know which wrestler is like strictly vegan is Austin Aries.
Really?
And that guy's
built like a tank, but he's vegan.
I think I read that somewhere. I can see that.
Yeah. It's just one of those things that's, I mean, especially when you're on the road so much, that's got to be such a pain in the butt to, you know, keep up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One more break.
We'll be right back with more Hall and Wong and Mel Baltazar. This is the epitome of a BS session.
This is Jamie Nagio from PWC Sportsnet, and you're listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast.
Mid-sized car. You don't have to be popular. Find out who your true friends are. Pinot Noir. In the boudoir.
In the boudoir.
Then what's the voicemail? Call it again. Call it again.
Pinot Noir. Smoke a cigar. Revenge can be spectacular.
Pinot Noir. Pinot Noir. Pinot Noir.
Pinot Noir. And yet so far.
Pinot Noir,
pure star. Listen to Tom Berengar.
Pinot Noir, Rose and Bar.
Pinot Noir.
You know, we've been talking about wrestling for a while, and you know how I met you guys was through anime conventions, and I want to tell a story really quick about not when I first met Holland, but I think one of the first times I met Holland.
How I met your mother? No.
Nah, you wish. but I remember me and an old friend, Mark, we were in your room, right? And then you left for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then our friend Mike Ngo was just like, I don't know. He just looked really out of it.
Oh, he got trashed. That's why. That's,
yeah, he got super trashed.
And then, like, he was barely legal to drink. I was still 19 at the time.
So he got super trashed, and Mark and I were just looking at each other and like, we better get out of here. 1, 2, 3. We run out, and then we look back, and Mike was throwing up all over the room.
That was my room.
Yeah, exactly.
It was while everybody was playing Pata Pata Paradise.
Oh, God. Pata Pata Paradise.
Yeah,
I can't remember the last time I played that game.
We had to clear the equipment because that's where you put the sensors is on the floor.
Mm.
So we're like, oh, God, get the equipment away. So we're carrying these, like, pink-colored pods everywhere.
Yeah, for some reason, like, first came into this whole anime convention thing, I didn't really know what to think because, like, I didn't really watch very much of it. And then when I get there, it's, like, all this social awkwardness. I'm so glad I found you guys.
We found love in an awkward place.
I know. Like, what made you guys – it sounds really terrible. What made you guys go to anime conventions in the first place?
For me, I actually was – I mean, when I talk about my anime experiences, I was more into, like, the 80s kind of stuff. So I was, like, into Robotech and, you know, like, Transformers and, like, all that kind of stuff. Or Star Blazers. And then 90s, I kind of didn't think about it too much. And then around 2000, when I got into music gaming, like, DDR and Beatmate and all that kind of stuff, I noticed all the people I was hanging out with was into anime. So it's like, okay, you know, I guess I'm sort of, you know, catching along to what they're liking. And probably about like a year after I met you guys through like video games, it's like, okay, I'll go to Fanime just because, you know, everyone else is doing it. And, you know, you just kind of pick up a thing or two.
Yeah. And Hall, was Fanime 2001 your first anime
con?
No,
my very first anime con was actually the summer of 1998 when I was visiting Toronto. And
whoa.
And without a badge, I walked into Anime North, and somehow I got into the dealer's room. This was on a Sunday when, like, the convention was dead. And then, like, I was buying something, and somebody, and I guess the dealer knows, like, oh, you don't have a badge. I was like, I was supposed to get one to buy stuff. That's where it started. But my first full convention that I attended the entire weekend and got a badge, all that, all those gimmicks, Anime Expo 1999.
Wow, and I didn't see you there? Because I was at AX99.
Oh, I didn't talk much, so I was with Gary.
I guess we all didn't talk much back then.
Yeah.
It was, and then the whole, anime message board, the easy boards. Oh my God. Like when we were still using, message boards back in the day, man.
Yeah.
And then I think we all had our own websites, GeoCities, Tripod,
Angel Fire,
Fortune City,
Zoom with an X. Zoom,
Homestead.
I tried Homestead also. Tripod.
Yeah. Tripod. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That was a while back, man. And it's funny because like we've known each other for like what 14?
About yeah, 15 years? 15 years now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's only because like was that even because of the anime?
Our friendship can go to high school.
Right.
Wow.
It'll be legal in 3 years.
Oh,
hey, in about 3 years, come holler friendship.
but seriously, like, because it all started at anime conventions and it somehow, like, went to, like, Dance Dance Revolution, Paradise, basketball, and then wrestling. So,
well, wrestling was kind of mixed in with early in our friendship, and then it faded away, and it came back again.
Yeah, I mean, when did you start watching wrestling again, Holland? Because like you said, went off for a while.
I was gone through most of Punk's run, and I just watched sparingly for like several years until I got back into it like way more than I ever did. In November, I think it was around Survivor Series is when I got seriously into wrestling again.
Would you try wrestling school if it was presented to you? Like
10 years ago,
I don't know.
When I was like 24, yeah.
Yeah, because I know my friend wants to try it. Like, and he's in his 30s, and he wants to give it a shot. I might want to give it a shot at some point.
I have a friend who actually did go for it, and he's like 31.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So it's one of those like now or never sort of things for him. So he's forgot which promotion it was, but it's a local promotion. It's got a pretty big name.
BTW?
No, it's not. God, I'm having trouble. I'm having a total brain fart right now.
That's okay.
But,
I remember they had like a house show or something during WrestleMania weekend. So he was busy that weekend.
Yeah, BTW is the like last big promotion that was out here. Who came? Bailey. She actually came out of BTW. Big time wrestling, yeah. It was kind of, before that there was All Pro Wrestling, which was actually where I trained for a short while.
You trained, Mel?
You never knew this?
No.
Yes.
Never knew this.
Yes.
Wow.
How long? About 98.
You were doing everything back then.
Yeah, you know, I'm the Monte Ellis of life, man. I don't know what caused me to do it. I mean, I remember they talked about, like, this was when, like, Warrior started talking about his camp in Arizona, and then, like, WCW was talking about the power plant in Atlanta. And then, locally, All Pro Wrestling, which was based out of Hayward. I don't know how I got word of them, but I was like, okay, I'm kind of interested, you know, like, sure, what the heck, what's the worst that can happen? And, yeah, I was there for about, like, good maybe 3 or 4 months, and then I got injured really, really bad, and rather than be one of those guys that's like, okay, I'm going to come back stronger than ever, it's like, just the vibe of the entire place didn't work for me and all that, and, I mean, I was, when I got injured, I subluxated my shoulder, and I tore an oblique muscle. And that hurt. And, you know, it just didn't help that everyone, you know, all the brutes in there thought I was gay, even though I, like, completely wasn't. But that's, like, a long story. It was kind of a very, it was a sign of times when people were still kind of closed-minded about a lot of things. And, dudes are dudes. And it's just, like, I just didn't want to be in that hostile environment.
Yeah.
I did learn a lot of fundamentals. I mean, if, you know, my life depended on putting on a match, you know, I know how to take my bumps and know how to run the ropes, and I can put a little offense in there, but, you know, after 7 or 8 minutes, yeah, I might be sucking wind.
So you have jobber status.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
You know, I know how to fall and not injure myself at the very least, which is really when you talk about wrestlers and, like, how you can keep in the business, just know how to take your bumps, you know? Mm-hmm. Once you know how to do that, you can make anybody look good, and if you can make anyone look good, you will have a job.
Nice.
Hence jobber, I guess, you know?
Yeah. So, back to the anime convention thing really quick. Like, you guys still go, right? At least just to go.
I stopped going, but this year I just visited. I didn't have a badge. And I went at, like, 10 p.m. just to hang out.
I just want to know, like, I mean, I visit sometimes, too, but I don't really, you know, stay. I just talk to friends.
Yeah, same
but
here.
Do you notice any differences between, like, 15 years ago to now?
Yeah. We're older.
Well, yeah, obviously. I knew you were going to say that, too, but I don't know.
It's just the vibe isn't the same anymore. There's something about it that's a little – I don't remember it being this crazy back in, like, 15 years ago, but now it's just – I don't know. There's some weird vibe with it that – where I felt like I totally don't fit in.
Or we got older,
yeah, we got older.
Yeah, because, you know, I look back, I was at Anime Expo last summer just to visit, and then you see all these people dancing around, And then I'm like, oh my god, that was me 14 years ago. Yeah, I guess you're right. We got older.
Yeah.
It's not only just that, but I think there's a difference between liking something and then having a passion for it. I think the passion is gone, but still it's like you kind of remember why you like it, but you just don't immerse yourself nearly as much as you used to.
Yeah, because, like, it's okay for us to grow out of things, which, you know, for some reason people get offended about that. Like, yeah, I mean, sometimes what we like, we go through a phase, and then that's it. Because I used to love anime in the late 90s, early 2000s, but now, not so much. I'll go through a series once in a while, but I'm not going to go out of my way for it.
Yeah, and I spent half my life playing video games, and then now, past several years, I don't even play anything. Last time I really got into video games was just playing Street Fighter 4 on the console, and after that, after the like several months of playing that, I just didn't buy a current gaming system, and I just used my PS3 as like
for Netflix
and
right?
Blu-ray.
Yeah, it's weird because like I think and this has been happening for the last decade for me now. Actually, I buy more than I play. Like I just buy games because I gotta have this game, and I end up not playing it, and it just sits there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like the debuts of games and like you know the releases on it's an event nowadays.
Yeah,
you know, you kind of have to get caught up into hype just in the random case that, okay, yeah, I'm going to get sucked into it. So I may as well get it now before, you know, I feel like I missed the boat.
This podcast became depressing really quick. It turned from, like, wrestling to, like, bitter geek.
But hey, there are still some good games out there that are worth the hype.
I still play Super Nintendo games to this day because there's a lot that I haven't beaten yet. You know, like Yoshi's Island and Secret of Evermore. Like, I haven't been in those games at all. So that's what I'm doing. Like, if I'm playing games, that is, because I'm always either, you know, watching a basketball game or I just want to socialize, you know, stuff like that. We're adults now.
Do you find yourself playing more of the old games? Like, you would just dust off your Sega Saturn or something, play Shenmue or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't know. It's just those older games, like, I have a memory attached to them, but these new games, like I don't really have any sort of a memory attached to these. Like I don't.
You know,
I think what that speaks to more so is, you know, you look at those games you're referencing, the Super Nintendo and all that. That's all happening during your formative years when you know you're growing, building your identity, what you identify with. By the time you're about 25 to 26, you pretty much know who the hell you are, and it's like whatever you're into is like, okay, yeah, I just like it because I like it. But you know, when you're 15 or 16, it's like, you know, your world is so much more compact. It's, you know, this tighter little space. So things are more magnified. Things are more fun because, you know, it means that much more work to you. Nowadays, it's, you know, it's one small facet in this really big freaking thing we call life, you know?
Yeah, it's the same thing with music, too. It's like I stick to 90s music because that's what I love, you know? Sometimes there's a jam once in a while that I'll listen to.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I'm going to stick to what I like and what I know.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, speaking of music, I kind of intertwined the two because I remember, like, oh, yeah, I was listening to Warren G's, Regulate the G-Funk Era while playing Link to the Past and stuff like that.
Nice.
Still can't believe thinking about Warren G actually got me a trivia answer correct about learning when the Million Man March happened. So, okay, quick like little tangent, but there was a question at trivia, and it was saying, you know, in what year was the Million Man March? The only reason I was able to sleuth this was because I remember, like, Tupac's song All About You, which had Nate Dogg, and, like, there was mm-hmm. that monologue at the end by Snoop Dogg talking about – no, yes. I see this. So yes. I saw her at the Million Man March. That's the same hot on the Warren G video. And I thought about that. I'm like, okay, I remember that line. Now, when did All Eyes on Me come out? It was like 1996. So it had to be like before that. So I just subtracted 1 year, 1995, and somehow it was the right answer.
Oh, yeah.
So that's my little Warren G. You know, like, this is why rap is educational sometimes. And 90s music. So, see, this all ties together.
I still never met Warren G because Warren G lived like in my friend's neighborhood back in the late 90s, so I still haven't seen him yet. Yeah, but I have
– Side note,
is it Julianne? What is it?
CougarLife.com.
Oh.
Is Julianne on the commercial?
But I digress. Yeah, I don't know who that is.
That's all that matters.
Anyway.
Okay.
Google. I was gonna say that I've never met Warren G, but yeah, I took a picture of Suge Knight. Figure that out.
Oh.
And he didn't shake you for money or tell you, like...
He shook my hand. That's it.
You want to be an artist? You don't want your deal dancing in the video? You'll be a real artist. Come to Death Row.
Oh, my God. It's weird. I always say this now whenever I go through a difficult task or whatever. It's like, whether it's going up on stage or doing an interview or something, it's like, well, you took a picture of Suge Knight. You can survive anything else.
I cannot debate that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It was the most random thing ever because I parked behind a convertible, and I really had no idea who it was and until people started yelling at him, Suge Knight, Suge Knight. And I'm like, oh, it's Suge Knight. And then everyone's going up to him, and then I shook his hand, and he didn't kill me.
Run for your life. Get you some help.
Oh, God. And then if you were wearing blue, he probably would have tried to kill you.
No, I was wearing blue. Oh. I was wearing dark blue.
Whoa.
You had an angel on your shoulder, bud.
Yeah, but there were so many people there, so I don't know. It was at a gas station.
Yeah, too many
witnesses.
Don't think, like, one of the craziest facts about Suge Knight was he was one of the replacement NFL players during that 87 strike.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
He was an offensive lineman, I believe. He was an lineman of sorts. And I know this because my buddy, his girlfriend, dated his roommate when they were when Suge Knight and his roommate were attending UNLV.
Wow.
Crazy small world.
Well, I know. All I know is I survived Suge Knight and...
That's all that matters.
Yeah, I'm not going to say anything else about it because, like, if I say something else and he somehow hears his podcast... No, he's not going to hear his podcast, but... Wow.
We choose life.
I know. It's weird how things happen. We've talked wrestling. We've talked video games. We sound like such bitter geeks right now, but do you regret any of that geek life? Not at all, right? I don't.
No, you can't. I mean, I'll draw something that Masioka actually, you remember him from Heroes, the guy who played Heroes?
Yes.
He was saying something about, like, you know, is it, you know, should you be ashamed about being a geek? He said this, like, at this, I think it was a Q&A for Get Smarter or whatever. We talk about, you know, should you be ashamed about being a geek? It's like, no, because to be a geek is to be human. You know, whether you have a passion for, like, Mac products or ant farms or all that, it shows that, you know, you have a passion for something and that's what gives you life. So to be a geek about nothing is to mean you have no, like, purpose in life. You have nothing that drives you. So, you know, whatever it is, you know, own up to it and, you know, love it. And it's okay to be a geek because it just means you care.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So hey, there's all sorts of weird stuff I'm into, but, you know, I don't regret it. I mean,
That brings me to a conversation that I have with one of my close friends, Mike, who we mentioned earlier. I remember he was introducing me to, like, some of his coworkers at some kind of housewarming party that I went to, and, like, and I was like, and I introduced him as, like, when they asked me, how do you know Mike? And I said, like, oh, yeah, I was playing some, you know, dorky dancing game or whatever. And then, like, Mike talked to me, like, after the party. He was like, why do you have to say it like that? Why don't you just say Dance Dance Revolution? Like, nobody cares. It's like, if you're, it's not a big deal. That's when it occurred to me. I was just like, I should just embrace, like, what I was into back then. And it just shows that I had passion for something and a lot of history to it, a lot of fond memories. So why should I dismiss it by saying, oh, yeah, some dorky stepping dancing game. But I met a lot of great people through it, like Mel. Mel's one of my closest friends. I consider him a brother. I met him through playing Dance Dance Revolution.
Brother.
Yes. Yeah, I'm the same way. I was at a wedding rehearsal, and my lady friend was getting married. And then one of the cosplayers, I will not mention his name, he was asked how he met this girl. And he was hesitant. He would just say friends through friends or whatever. And I just chimed in and says, I met her through an anime convention. Just say that. What is wrong with that? Everyone knows that the lady is into anime.
Yeah.
Everyone
yeah.
knows that. Nope. Why hide it?
Nobody cares. I mean, it makes them a little bit more intrigued. It's like, oh, that's interesting. I want to hear more about this because I don't know what this is.
Exactly. And it's not like it's a big secret. Everyone knew she was into anime. You know,
and
so.
Geek culture is so accepted now, it's almost cliche.
Oh, it really is.
It's marketable.
Insane.
You know?
It really is, because back then, you know, I was 7th, 8th grade, people laugh at me for playing Sonic the Hedgehog. Whatever, I like Sonic the Hedgehog. Who cares?
Yeah.
As the high school years went by.
What the hell was wrong with people? Kids got so
I don't cool. know.
And if,
weirdos.
And if anybody's going to laugh at us for, like, liking anime or something, it's just like, dude.
Yeah.
get the f*** over yourself.
Right. And as our high school years went by, video games became cooler, and suddenly I was the cool kid because I was awesome at Tekken 2.
Right? Yeah, it's weird. Yeah.
Yeah, so,
and you see, like, the top grossing movies are comic book movies.
Yeah, and video games make more than movies these days.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so we actually found a purpose in this podcast. Embrace geek life, everybody.
It's what makes you human.
Geek,
yes.
Geek life. It's basic geekonomics.
Oh, my God. So, anything else you guys want to say before we wrap this up?
Go Warriors.
We didn't even talk basketball, did we?
Oh, no, we didn't.
Hey, number two pick, Lakers, Haller.
Hooray, I guess.
Yeah, that's a whole another can of worms of expertise that we kind of know in basketball.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing, too. It's weird because, like, if you know stats and the ins and outs of a sport, that's geeky, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the same thing as being, like, you know, the ins and outs of an anime or a show. But if you know the ins and outs of sports and stats and everything, it's like, that's pretty geeky, too. And it's just that sports is more accepted.
Yeah, and how we know about the wrestling besides, like, what's shown on TV, we know what happens backstage, who works for who, and contracts and all these other things that we didn't think about when we were, like, 16 years old.
Yeah, that's geeky as hell.
That is geeky.
Everybody, embrace your inner geek.
Absolutely.
And to all the people embracing their inner geek, just know that you are not alone out there. If the internet has taught us anything, you are not the only person that likes something.
Mm-hmm. You don't like basketball. Game is so geeky.
It's just being comfortable in your own skin. No matter how geeky, dorky, or goofy it is, it's like, if you're comfortable being that person, it's like, why change for somebody else, you know?
That's why I don't give a shit if people make fun of my boy bands and whatever, you know? I embrace that. That's what I like. You know, screw you, you know?
Yeah.
And then
I went to see the Spice Girls, you know, in concert, and it was freaking awesome.
Yeah. And you make fun of it, and then you sing along to it. What does that make you? You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, tell them what you want, what you really, really want.
I still have my Posh Spice doll, like, hanging out somewhere in one of my packed away boxes.
I mean, I just want to go to England to see Baby Spice. Is that wrong?
No.
Hardly.
Exactly. Thanks for wasting my time, guys.
Hey, this is Matthew Mercer, voice of Abe the Trapper from Evolve, and you're listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast.
Thank you so much to Holland Wong and Mel Baltasar for coming on and talking geeky and nerdy with me in this podcast. Sorry there's no Adam Jacoby story time for this episode. It should be back in the next podcast. Follow Holland on Twitter at Hollandazed, H-O-L-L-A-N-D. A-Z-E-D, and follow Mel on Twitter at DJ Melvis. Again, listen to their podcast, Kicks and Kickouts, It's About Wrestling, and Sneakers. Support them as much as you have supported me. In the meantime, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can also download the show at RayRay.net, and you can also find the show on Stitcher. Follow the podcast on Twitter at RayRayIsFun, because you cannot fit RayRayIsFundamental on the Twitter handle. And if you want to follow me personally on Twitter, I talk about NBA and everything else, it's the No Look Pass. Gal Pal Squad, thanks so much for taking care of me. Everybody, thank you so much for your support and for listening. Holland and Mel, again, thanks so much for talking sexy, talking geeky with me. And just remember, Ray Ray is fundamental, and you don't need a library card to check me out. Until the next episode, party people.
If you actually think I was just the right guy, at the right place, at the right time, let me say it one more time so you completely understand, McMahon. If you actually believe in your mind, if you actually think that I was just the right guy, at the right place, at the right time, well then you're a bigger delusional bastard than I thought you were, McMahon.
Game over, yeah! Moded.